Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. Chad and I are chatting with Robert Sinn, better known as Goldfinger over at CEO.ca. Now, Robert, general comments on what we're seeing in the financial markets right now. We're seeing weakness really across the board. S&P is down, broad markets are down. We're also seeing a pullback in commodities, some of the key commodities that I think have supported the run higher in, let's say, something like the CRB, is we have seen a bit of a rollover in oil. Copper is also off of its highs. On the flip side, a couple of the only markets that I'm seeing doing well here, gold, US dollar, and treasury. So a bit more of a defensive trade today. Robert, what's your takeaway from the action that we're seeing coming out of that US long weekend?
Hi, Corey. Yeah, it's a very interesting morning, actually, across markets. I mean, it's always interesting when we see a reversal off the open, especially after a holiday, you know, weekend like we just came off of. I mean, basically, I think most traders have been off their desks for 5 days. So now everybody's back at work on a Tuesday morning, and the S&P was up there almost near 4,350. Around the open in the US, and we just got sold off now for the first hour and a half, you know, pretty much across the board. I mean, copper was almost 440, now it's 425. We had oil almost at 77 a barrel, now it's under 74. Gold is still very green, but it was up above 1810, now it's about 1803. The dollar is on a tear. There's a lot of people saying that this money that's going to come out of T-bills over the next month is going to go into the overnight, repo market with the Fed and just sort of get sucked out of the system. So there would be less dollars available out there, which would theoretically be very positive for the dollar. And maybe we're starting to see that trade take hold now. It's very interesting how the Fed would allow that, because I'm sure they don't want the dollar to get too strong, but definitely some notable market action here on a Tuesday morning following what was for most people probably an extended, holiday.
So Robert, out of kind of the three different sectors that I mentioned, one being commodities with oil and copper pulling back, the other being the S&P down, and quite frankly, the rest of the market down, what's the most noteworthy here? What do you think matters the most for investors, and what directional trade do we need to pay attention to?
Well, I think you have to watch the dollar. If you're not paying attention to what the dollar is doing, you're probably not going to have an edge, or even, you're probably going to be a couple steps slow on everything. But the dollar is sort of driving the bus right now. Obviously, dollar strength kind of is a headwind for most everything else. And the fact that the S&P, on the hourly chart, that's a pretty clear double top there at 4,347. Obviously, we need confirmation of that, and it's just a few hours of trading. We don't want to make a mountain out of a, molehill, but it is kind of noteworthy to me after this run that the S&P has had, when there's so much weakness that's been showing up in various sectors like financials, home builders, transports have not given confirmation of the new highs in the S&P. This has been a one-way trade in mega cap tech, with the big tech stocks driving the bus for everything else. But overall, from a technical vantage point, this is not a healthy market that's at all-time highs, right? And so when I look at this sort of, reversals across the board here after the holiday weekend, when we're at all-time highs, technical double top potential, it has me really stand up and take notice. From a gold perspective, generally, negative action in equities should be a tailwind for gold in this current macro setup. But we also don't want to get too much dollar strength, because that would be a headwind for gold, right? So it's a very interesting market environment with not a whole lot of clarity.
Yeah, Robert, I think it's important to also note that, as the saying goes, one day does not make a market, so we don't want to overanalyze it. But at the same time, it is interesting, as Corey led with, that, that most of the safety plays are getting a bid between the dollar, gold, and bonds. That's a pretty clear sign, with everything else selling off, that there's a little trepidation One other thing we talked about before the call started was just that volatility has been really low the last couple of weeks, and the VIX has been down. And we've also mentioned that with the markets higher and with the rotation into tech that you just discussed, that there's kind of been this unhinged from fundamentals aspect where the PE ratios are extended, you know, the market's overvalued. We were joking around saying, well, when does that matter? When has the valuation mattered? Do you think there's a point where fundamentals will come back into it again, where people will start looking at the PE ratios of even the high flying FANG stocks? Will the markets maybe digest some of the lunacy over the last year? And then, you know, coming into the second half of this year, will we see more of a balanced market where it's a two-way market, where there are small corrections and where it's not just a one-way ticket higher?
Yeah, I mean, I think fundamentals absolutely do matter. And even in some of the meme stock plays, like even like the Hertz bankruptcy play and stuff like that, I think sometimes people are too simplistic in how they analyze it. And they say, oh, it's just a meme stock momentum trade. But actually, there's a lot of fundamentals that go into some of those, like the Hertz trade. That stock that, you know, was bankrupt, quote unquote, is probably going to end up being actually worth more than $10 per share when it comes out of bankruptcy, just because of all the different things that go into it, the, you know, warrants, et cetera, et cetera. And even, you know, with GameStop, you know, you could make an argument that, you know, the worst case was taken off the table. They have a path to a new, you know, business model. And so the shorts have to get squeezed. But yeah, eventually, when all the shorts are squeezed out of it, it has to trade on fundamentals, and the valuation has to make some semblance of sense. And longer term, absolutely, I think that we will see valuation, you know, metrics and fundamentals, you know, reassert themselves in a lot of the high flying stuff that is terribly overvalued. And one thing I will add, you know, we're coming into Q2 earnings season here. We'll start to get, you know, companies, you know, reporting next week. And I think that expectations are very, very lofty. And maybe that could also explain a little bit of the selling here this morning, that some people are getting a little shaky, saying, oh, you know, not a lot of upside here, even if companies do beat, and maybe there's a lot of downside if they miss. So I expect this month, we're definitely in the summer doldrums. I expect this month, you know, to be pretty sloppy across the board. And yeah, we don't want to make too big of a deal out of 1 hour or even one day, that's for sure. But we also want to be cognizant of where this price action here this morning is happening at in the context of a long-term big picture.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's also telling that with your, you know, with the point you made that after being out of the markets for the last end of last week through the beginning of this week, a lot of traders have been kind of unfocused, you know, having fun, taking trips, vacationing, spending time with family, and to come back and see this as the setup, it could be some of that trepidation about the earnings report, or that maybe things had levitated a little bit too high above gravity. And I think you also just made a great point about the meme stocks and some of the real fundamentals coming back in. One more I would throw in addition to the GameStop and all that is AMC. It actually spiked the value of a lot of the real estate REITs. And so because it was such a large holding, they were getting pummeled, you know, about a year ago and even like a couple months ago. But when AMC took off, a lot of people reevaluated REITs and said, look how well real estate's doing. It's like, well, a lot of that is the huge drive that AMC. So it's having real world effects in the markets. And GameStop did reinvent itself to an online presence. So some of this meme investing and some of this overvaluation has really created a new market. Let me ask you a question. We talked to a generalist yesterday that said, hey, you know, really the bull market of the last 12 years ended during the pandemic crash. And it was his perspective that we're in a completely new market starting, you know, with the pandemic crash of March of 2020 through present. And there's new market fundamentals and everything's going in fast forward and it seems to be accelerated. What do you think of that idea? Are we in a new market now? Is this kind of a different market that started since the pandemic and the reopening trade? Is this a different frontier that we're in?
Wow, what a deep question that is. I want to say yes and no. It's always scares me when people talk about this is a new market, this is a new paradigm, yada yada. You know, it's different. I don't think that you know human nature and the psychology of crowds has changed, but I do agree with that person in the sense that yes, everything is happening so much faster now. So market cycles that would have taken 10 years, 100 years ago are now happening in a year or less. And we are seeing everything sped up. You know, it is hyperspeed. And so, yeah, like, yeah, March 2020, major, major market crash. But it lasted about a month. And that was it. So we had a one-month violent panic crash. And then on March 23rd, 2020, the Fed stepped in and backstopped the entire market, the entire financial system. And we've been going up almost in a straight line for more than 15 months. For 15 months since, right? So you have to ask yourself, can central banks completely engineer financial market, you know, activity? Obviously, they have a lot. They're the biggest person in the room. They're the largest actor in the markets. But perhaps we're giving them a little bit too much credit. And perhaps, yes, things are faster, much faster. But it's not an entirely new market, and we need a bigger sample size. You know, a longer time period to really be able to say something like that.
I feel like that seems to be the theme of this interview, though, right? Is it's some short-term weakness that we're seeing. We need to see how that plays out, and we just need to see the bigger picture of what's happening post-pandemic, right? And that's what everyone's really focused on right now is how long will growth stick around? How long will inflation stick around? And how long will all these investors in the market stick around too? So it's one of those things, right, where I find it so hard to jump on the bearish case simply because the bears have been wrong for so long. And that's kind of a key thing to understand. One quick comment, though, regarding gold doing well. The gold stocks are not really doing that well today. You even look at something like GDXJ, and that even dropped into negative territory right now. As we've been talking, GDX is still up, but really just marginally. What's the balance there? Is that simply weakness from the markets pulling down the gold stocks?
Yeah, Corey, I really think it is. And I would also, you know, state that this is summer doldrums still. Gold stocks usually don't put in a major low for another month, you know, let's say like at least another 3 weeks. Not to say that, you know, seasonality is the most important factor overall, but it certainly does matter. And, you know, we're still in the, you know, midst of the summer doldrums. A lot of companies are out there exploring, and they're not necessarily, you know, having news on a regular basis. So, you know, I think it's just, it's going to be sloppy probably for another few weeks. But from a gold standpoint, I think there's two really notable things here. So 1750 held as support, and, you know, that was after a $170 an ounce drop in less than 2 weeks. Gold got extremely oversold. So now we have a big downside, you know, reference point, to use going forward. You know, 1750 is clearly extremely important now. And this sell-off in 10-year yield, so, you know, bond yields really dropping off here, you know, and it's a technical, you know, breakdown that we're seeing as well from a 3 to 4 month topping process. I think that with bond yields falling, that is a tailwind for gold. And a lot of what caused gold to drop from 1900 was the Fed, you know, acknowledging that inflation was running hotter than they anticipated, and they might have to taper and tighten policy faster than the market wanted them to, or, you know, expected, you know, the Fed to. And obviously, if the Fed tightens, that raises the price of money. That's usually a negative factor for gold. So we're seeing that get pared back a little bit here. I mean, when the 10-year yield is down 7 basis points in a couple of hours, that's telling us that the market is not worried about inflation, you know, running way too hot. The market is not worried about the, you know, economy, you know, going too fast. It's actually the opposite. The market is suddenly now worried the economy is going to slow, and inflation might not even reach the Fed's, you know, objective. So it's very interesting to see these ebbs and flows of sentiment happen so quickly, where a couple months ago, everybody's freaking out about inflation, posting the, you know, lumber chart, And now here we are. We have bond yields in a big technical downfall.
Yes, how quickly sentiment can flip-flop almost seemingly overnight in some of these sectors. Well, Robert, you mentioned, you know, that gold is perking up a little bit and that the dynamics have shifted a little bit, but you also brought up sentiment. And I've been in the resource markets about 10 or 11 years, and the sentiment's getting pretty bad in the miners again. Are there any bright spots in the miners that you see? Are there any companies that you're watching where you think, hey, even despite, you know, where the price is, which is still, I think, very reasonable for gold stocks, are there any explorers, developers, producers that have your eye that you're you think represent a good value or have some good work going on?
Yeah, there definitely are. I've written about some of them in the past couple of weeks, if you look at my blog post. But this morning, New Range Gold, which is a exploring the Pamlico project in the Walker Lane trend in the best mining state in the country, maybe the best mining, you know, jurisdiction in the world, put out some really exciting news. Now, there were not any assays. Those assays are pending for four diamond holes in a new zone, which appears to be an extension to the, you know, historic high-grade gold zone at Pamlico. And definitely read the news and take a look at the company's slide deck. But from my vantage point, this is a very exciting story because, you know, this company still has less than $30 million market cap. And when you're making new discoveries in this kind of, you know, location where you're in the best mining state in the U.S., and you're in a location where I think they would get permitted for a mine. And we know from, you know, historic mining and even the results that this company has had in the past 4 to 5 years, that there's some extremely high grades here at Pamlico. So if they're able to extend this high grade zone to a much wider area that's near surface in oxides, so it's much easier to process. It's lower cost to process. This is actually very exciting. And so we still need to see these assays, you know, for these four holes that the company talked about, you know, here this morning. But also, they have a new zone called the Skarn Zone, which is very large, that they're going to start to, you know, drill next week. And this will be the first holes that have ever gone into this new zone. So I think that this is a very exciting story. It's clearly speculative, but from my vantage point covering this company for more than a year, they are building the probability of something that is highly economic is growing. And I'm very positive on it. I own the stock and they are a sponsor.
Okay. Well, thanks for taking care of all those addendums there. I appreciate that forthcomingness there, Robert, and quite frankly, will be interesting to see when those drill results come out. It's always interesting to see when companies produce news ahead of those drill results, simply stating what the core looks like. But yeah, we'll see what comes out of those drill results from New Range. Robert, great chatting with you. Thanks for the update. Some interesting things going on in the market, and I'm sure a lot of the gold bugs out there would love to see that weakness in the U.S. equity markets and a bit more of a defensive trade come into the market because, boy, oh boy, June seemed to be almost the opposite of that kind of a trade. Robert, great chatting with you, buddy. Thanks, as always, for your time. We'll chat again in another couple weeks.
Thanks, guys.